Music Theater of Madison presents 10 Days in a Madhouse, a podcast and workshop of a new musical by Jennifer Hedstrom and Karen Sari, commissioned and directed by Megan Randolph and Music Theater of Madison. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our podcast sponsors, the Frank Young Fund for New Musicals through the National Alliance for Musical Theater. The National Alliance for Musical Theater is a catalyst for musical theater development, production, innovation, and collaboration. Learn more at namt.org. We are also supported by Dane Arts, who work to amplify Dane County's meaningful cultural legacy through a variety of activities, which you can learn more about at danearts.com. Another supporter is Orange Tree Imports, a local shop for fun gifts, seasonal delights, and kitchen tools. The store is open with safety measures in place, and you can learn more at orangetreeimports.com. Our recordings of episodes 3 and 4 of this podcast are sponsored by Door Creek Orchard, a sustainable apple farm in Cottage Grove. This scenic farm has delicious varieties of apples, and they will be open this fall with safety measures in place. You can learn more and follow them on Facebook and Instagram at doorcreekorchard.com. We are looking for your feedback as we move to the final production stage of this musical. Please visit mtmadison.com to fill out our feedback form. This is an important part of our workshop process. On our website, you'll also see renderings of costumes by Shannon Hebler and set renderings by Aaron Ball. You can find info on the actors in our virtual program, resources on Nellie Bly, and more. Music Theater of Madison is a 14-year-old professional musical theater company in Madison, Wisconsin. We focus on the new and different in musical theater. We know it's a tough time for a lot of people right now, but if you're able, we'd be very grateful for a donation to help sustain MTM's programming as we look to a future that's very different from what we'd imagined, but no less exciting. You can make a contribution at mtmadison.com. Every dollar counts, and we're so grateful that you're listening. And now, 10 Days in a Madhouse. Act 2, Scene 1. As lights slowly rise, we see the women, led by Nurse McCartan, tethered together by a rope as they walk. They are wearing gaudy scarves meant to cover the leather harness-like sections they are strapped into. Every woman wears a white straw hat. Tilly, despondent, struggles to keep up. She is tethered to Pauline, who steals Tilly's hat and laughs in disturbing tone. The women follow a strict path. Nurse Group joins the women and stands by Nurse McCartan.
New ropes. There will be no river runners today.
Let's keep moving, patients.
When Mrs. Freeman is center, she sees an acorn and picks it up. Untethered, she steps out so she is our focus. The rest of the women keep moving, but very slowly behind her. We are seeing inside her mind.
While I live, I hope. 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 I'd love to lay there, a sunny
tries to doze and take in the air, but I can only look. There is little comfort in this life. Mourning mother, widowed wife. There is little comfort in this place. The sign should read, she who enters leaveth hope behind.
Lights out. Act 2, Scene 2. Nellie, Louise, and Anne fold laundry. Mrs. Freeman and Tilly are in their own worlds. Mrs. Ramirez and Louise stand downstage. Mrs. Ramirez pantomimes, entertaining Louise.
Siete mares.
Siete mares.
Siete continentes.
Siete continentes.
Siete de la suerte.
Siete de la suerte.
Siete días.
Siete días.
Siete días.
Louise holding up seven fingers.
Siete días. Siete.
Mrs. Ramirez leads her back to the women folding laundry. Sarah enters, studying the letter she carries.
What are you reading, Miss Fishbaum?
She has a letter. Miss Fishbaum, did you get a letter? Who is it from? I've never gotten a letter before, ever. What does it say?
Child, please. Let me find out for myself.
Oh, please read it.
No. It's private. Very private.
Is it? A love letter?
That is between Mr. Forster and me.
Who is Mr. Forster? Was he your lover?
Young Louise, that is Miss Fishbaum's affair.
Yes. Mind your own business, girl. Was he your lover?
Anne!
Please, Miss Fishbaum.
All right. I will start at the beginning. Dearest Sarah, how deeply I regret that you are in such a dire situation. After your years of service to my friend and his family, a girl such as you does not deserve your lot. I do hope you continue to dream of a life beyond the walls of your convalescent home.
Apologies.
It is dreams that keep us alive after all. It is what kept me strong in the war. Consider yourself fortunate to not be troubled by the woes we men face in times of crisis.
Your friend should come and stay here a while.
Truly, you are a sweet and lovely thing. I so wish your luring of me into your chambers did not end in this manner. No, you are remembered fondly. I wish for you a clean slate and a strong fortitude. Be well, Miss Fishbaum. Sincerely, Lieutenant Samuel Forster.
Isn't that so like some man? Your luring of me into your chambers. Oh, my dear. I am so sorry for what you have been through.
Yes, well, I'm not.
What do you mean? Do you feel you deserve to be here?
Hardly. What I mean is I regret nothing. Do you want to know something else?
Tell us.
I did indeed lure him into my chambers.
You did no such thing!
You mean you kissed him? On the mouth?
Among other places. Perhaps you think I'm mad, dear friends. The only thing I'm mad for is men. I've known it since I was a teen and discovered what was in between. Perhaps you think I'm crass, poor lambs, but I hold no shame for who I am. No regrets, no secrets to keep. What's more respectable than honesty? Besides, if it's a sin, then why does it feel like heaven to open your door and let another man in? A pair of strong shoulders to hold on to. A mouth that does more than speak. A kiss, a sigh, a whisper, oh, I must confess, there's pleasure in making men weak. I was a housekeeper, good in my role. My employer, a married man, wanted to touch my soul. Unreturned passion built up for so long. Mr. Forster was his friend, so once he knew, he felt wrong. But if it's a sin, then why did it feel like heaven to open my door and let another man in? A pair of strong shoulders to hold on to. A mouth that does more than speak. Sent me away, took charge of my own body, so in Blackwell's I stay. Diagnosis given plainly, a fondness for men, locked up with you ladies, so I can't express it again. But if it's a sin, then why does it feel like heaven to open your door and let another man in? A pair of strong shoulders to hold on to. A mouth that does more than speak. A kiss, a sigh, a whisper, oh, I must confess, there's pleasure in making men weak. If it's a sin, if it's a sin, if it's a sin, oh, what a sinner I've been.
You have a much brighter outlook on men than I do.
I have to find something, or anger will take over. And if anger takes over, crazy isn't far behind.
You are a wise woman, Miss Fishbaum. You don't belong here. Half the women I've met in this place don't belong here.
The reason they are here is no illness. Ask them. Sarah is here because of a man. Mrs. Ramirez is here because her husband owed money. Louise, how did you come to be here?
I was playing with some children in a park, and I upset their father. I still don't know what I did wrong.
Pauline enters.
I saw the devil. I did. I saw him.
Tilly. Tilly. Do you remember how you came to be here?
Tilly. She is weak.
Oh, dear.
And these infant doctors will not see her. Who sent you here, Nellie?
I had a memory loss. I knew no one in the city, so the judge figured I belonged here.
My nephew. I helped raise him, you know. I have the body of an old lady because I worked to take care of him, and he couldn't be bothered to find a way to figure out how...
Matthew!
Tilly? Who is Matthew?
It was the devil. I know him.
No, no, Matthew. And Tilly and Rose and Benjamin. Children playing pretend. Like a family. Pretend.
Nellie and Anne sit by Tilly and take her hand.
Mid pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. A charm from the skies seems to hallow us there, which seek through the world is ne'er met with elsewhere. Home, home, sweet, sweet, sweet home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Mrs. Freeman's eyes come alive for a moment. She gingerly places a hand on Tilly. Lights out. Act 2, Scene 3. Louise wanders downstage. Lights signify the passing of a day.
Over in the meadow by the old mossy gate lived a brown mother lizard and her little lizards 8. Bask, said the mother. We bask, said the 8. So they basked in the sun on the old mossy gate.
Louise exits. Tilly enters the common room, weak and coughing. Nurse McCartan enters and goes to her.
Miss Mayor, is it?
I am Tilly Mayard.
Have you had anything to eat today, girl?
Tilly stares at the nurse and shakes her head.
How will you get well if you refuse to eat? The food may not be fancy, but we shouldn't complain when we are on charity.
Nurse McCartan looks around and removes an apple from her apron. She gives it to Tilly.
Have this. When you finish, throw away the core. No one can know I gave this to you.
Tilly reluctantly takes a bite, then devours the apple. Dr. Ingram enters, chatting with Nellie as the other women follow.
I assure you, Miss Brown, we do the best we can with what we've got.
Every cell is locked from
cell? Come now. These rooms are simple, but to call them cells...
Every cell is locked from the outside. If there were a fire, do you believe these nurses would unlock every single door?
It is their job.
Do you believe these nurses would take time to unlock each room? They do not care about us.
They have many patients to tend to. They do their best.
Do they even have medical training?
They do. Many of them worked in the infirmary when they were in, reform.
What infirmary? Where?
Well, they came to the island for reform and change, and they were put to work.
Prisoners! They were convicts!
Each has completed their sentence. God believes in second chances, so shouldn't we all?
You're asking me, the insane one?
Miss, you strike me as a level 2 with some wits about you. Now what would you do?
Some institutions have all their doors in a single system. A person turns a crank and all doors open at once. What is it?
How do you know this? I have only heard of one place where such a lock exists. Sing Sing Prison.
Nellie looks at him, amused. Nurse Group enters with Pauline, slouched and bearing a black eye.
Settle down, lunatics! Oh, Dr. Ingram. Dr. Field was looking for you.
Nurse Group, a gentler hand will do. Join me in the hall, please.
Dr. Ingram exits with Nurse Group. Pauline faces a wall.
What do you have up your sleeve, Nellie?
Curiosity, that's all.
Miss Brown, will you please play some piano?
Tilly, are you eating an apple?
An actual apple? How did you get it?
I'm not supposed to tell.
I am glad for you, but what I wouldn't give for a piece of fresh fruit.
Play piano, please.
Any requests, Tilly?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Ah, hooray!
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle,
each familiar melody brings a bit of joy to me. This piano, our one light, like a star in darkest night. When your fingers grace these keys, I remember how to sing.
Pauline begins to sing.
When the blazing sun is gone, when he nothing shines upon, then you show your little light. Twinkle, twinkle all the night. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
The women watch Pauline for a moment. Nurse Group enters with Nurse McCartan on her heels.
What is this? Nurse, did I forget about party hour? It's a charity party hour. How nice for you all. Who wants to launder linens when we can have ourselves a concert? Now, I just found out that one of you was telling tales to the doctor. I wonder who it could be. All of you, go down to Hall 6 and strip your beds for washing.
No, please, can't we play longer?
Did you tell me no?
We were just playing music. Why are you so mean?
Group storms over to Louise and raises her hand, about to strike.
You do not tell me no, girl! Acting like a goddamn baby half the time. I'll teach you to defy me!
Hilda! She is a child. I will deal...
I run this floor! If it were up to you, they'd all be coddled like a bunch of daisies.
Group shakes Louise.
You have it easy, child.
Group shoves Louise.
Walk, damn it, to the closet. You choose the tool that will knock sense into you.
Pauline steps in Nurse Group's path. She raises her hand as if to say stop.
You never learn, do you, idiot? What? You gonna call me the devil? Well, maybe you're the devil.
Nurse Group grabs Pauline by the throat. Group releases her grip, and Pauline catches her breath.
You don't fool me! You think your life is so hard? You don't know hard!
Group strikes Pauline hard once, then again. Pauline touches her own face, confused and feeling the pain, weeping. Nurse McCartan turns away. Group's anger and abuse of Pauline builds throughout the song.
You think I am cruel? Fear the sound of my name. Do you believe me to be unqualified, ill-trained? I am quite familiar with what's coming to you. I'm paying it forward. My own black and blue. As you sleep in your beds and eat your three squares, put this in your heads. Nobody cares. When you have a problem at the bottom of the bottom, nobody cares.
Please, please stop.
You think this is hell, but you have no clue. I've lived through worse. And I've been punished, too, by men who could use me. A harsh clientele and men of the law holding keys to my cell. As you sleep in your beds and eat your three squares, put this in your heads. Nobody cares. When you have a problem at the bottom of the bottom, nobody cares.
You are insane.
You evil woman.
You think I am cruel. Hate the sound of my name, but you're breaking order, so you are to blame. As you sleep in your beds and eat your three squares, put this in your heads, nobody cares. When you have a problem at the bottom of the bottom, nobody cares!
Group shoves Pauline off. We hear pounding, a beating.
Stop it! You will not get away with this, evil woman!
Stop! Please! Come back! No!
How dare you!
Please!
The women stand there, wincing. A final loud thud. Group returns.
Nurse McCartan, take her to the infirmary, if there's room.
Nurse group exits. Nurse McCartan follows. She turns back to the women.
Someone, help me!
Lights out. Act 2, Scene 4. The next day, all patients except Pauline are in the laundry room, folding linens. They are somber today. Tilly sits apart from the rest. Anne demonstrates how to fold a sheet in 9 steps.
5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. 9.
I tried. Mine still looks like a burlap sack.
And sleeps just as comfortable.
Does anyone know how Pauline is?
She's still in the infirmary, such as it is. That's all I know.
I didn't sleep last night. I kept seeing her in my head. What if she never comes back?
9 days. We've been here 9 days.
I've been here nearly 2 years. Pauline and I arrived on the same day. She was never well. But she fell deeper into darkness over time.
Do you hope to be sent home one day? Any of you?
I have no home to be sent to. Maybe the almshouse down the road when I'm old.
But you must have some hope that someone will come for you. Things will change.
The other women look at her with expressions of sadness, even pity.
The sign says live. Hope. But there is no hope.
Oh, Tilly.
We need to keep working. No more of us in the infirmary.
Mrs. Freeman picks up Nellie's sheet. She folds it quickly, perfectly.
Would you look at that?
Mrs. Freeman, you have a gift. Still waters, I suppose.
Sarah hands Mrs. Freeman her sheet. She folds it.
I don't want to get accustomed to things here.
It's best if you do.
I don't want to look forward to putting on an old worn nightgown that doesn't fit me properly and then settling into my straw mattress with a moth-eaten wool blanket. Do not let that be the best part of your days.
At least it's the end.
Do you all think about your old favorite things?
It's foolish.
But don't you? Even if you have to stop yourself? I think about my velvet ribbons. They were red, and my mama gave them to me.
Ooh, I miss velvet.
My papa loved my mama. He gave her pretty things. Held her hand in his each day until he died at sea. The ribbons were her favorites, and she gave them to me. She'd tie them in my hair each morn and hum a melody. If I could have those ribbons, I'd press them to my cheek, sleep with them each night in bed, and see her in my dreams. She'd weave my hair into a braid, adorned with memories. She'd hug and whisper in my ear, "Ich liebe dich, Luis."
Me dio coser un vestido hermoso, bien bordado por mis manos, donde haya flores de mil colores y encajes elaborados, donde me inspiré a vivir en la sociedad, donde hay mujeres inspiradas al ver colores en su piel, niñas alegres, mamás felices, abuelas muy contentas, muchas mujeres sintiendo la fuerza de la feminidad, muy orgullosa de coser a la mujer. Desearía que Luis tuviera mi mejor traje de vestir.
Tilly, are you all right?
Nellie, are you all right?
Nurse McCartan enters with George, unseen by Tilly. The women, including Nellie, resume folding laundry.
Sir, this is hall number 6. No woman matching your wife's description have been placed here since last time.
Would you know? There must be 50 women just milling about. They all look miserable.
Times are hard. We do what we can. What's your wife's name again?
Lucille. Beautiful Lucille.
Feel free to take a look again. But then I must ask you to leave.
Thank you.
George looks around. Sarah notices him.
Welcome to Blackwell's Island. I'm Sarah.
Hello.
George wanders the room. He takes out a notebook and writes.
Patience. I must attend to something down the hall. Take the linens to the laundry room.
Nurse McCartan exits. Women follow. Nellie lags.
Coming?
Yes. One moment, though.
Anne exits, shoots a dirty look to George. Nellie turns around and gasps when she sees George.
I'm so sorry to startle you, Miss... Elizabeth?
George?
They smile, and Nelly goes to him, and they grasp each other's hands.
What in the world?
I could ask the same.
A story. Who are you working for?
New York World.
You work for Joseph Pulitzer? How did you get the job?
I asked.
Of course you did. How long have you been in here?
9 days.
9 days? Elizabeth, are you safe? They've left you here 9 days?
I know. I need to see this through.
Pulitzer's a busy man. What if I can get you out of here?
Oh, no, you don't. This is my story.
I have a beat to cover, too. My editor wanted a story on the mystery girl who was sent here from Essex Market Court. She was disturbing others at a boarding house and couldn't remember anything but her name.
Well, you found her.
Nellie Brown. I should have guessed.
I need to stay, George. I can't let you turn me into your hero story. I've worked too hard.
I can't leave you here. Oh, what if they've forgotten you?
No. This is my chance. Please keep my secret.
I don't know what to do with you, Elizabeth.
I know. You proved that a while ago.
Miss Brown, to the laundry room, please. Don't tell me this is your wife.
George, please do not blow my cover.
No, nurse, this is not my wife.
George takes a last look at Nellie and then exits.
Miss Brown.
Nellie exits with Nurse McCartan. Lights out. Act 2, Scene 5. Mrs. Freeman stands there, looking at her hands. Slowly, she holds them up so we can see her 10 fingers. She holds them up for a moment. Behind her, the other women stand in line. She joins them. Nurse Group and Nurse McCartan enter. Through the song, they tether the women together, putting their white hats on them. They begin with Tilly, who can barely stand. Group shoves the hat onto her head.
What if I have been forgotten? Have I been a fool? I threw away all my caution, getting into this cesspool. If I should lose my freedom, then goodbye, sanity. I know my mind won't take the tedium of rot and banality.
Worked my body to the bone just to end up here.
Weaving and crying, they called me crazy.
Miss Brown, you are going home.
Excuse me?
A Mr. Hendricks is here for you. Says he's an attorney. You are free to go. I'll walk with you.
No. Who will play piano?
Shh. Be glad for our friend.
Can I say goodbye?
The gentleman seems to be in quite a hurry. He says you have friends in the world who are ready to take you, but he is on a deadline.
Nellie looks at the women.
I swear you will not be forgotten.
So serious. Go.
Miss Brown.
Nellie waves. Tilly is too despondent to respond. Dr. Field leads Nellie away from the others. She removes her shawl and white hat. Nurse Group takes them and hands Nellie her belongings.
That's an awful fancy hat. Wind's nippy today. You'll need it.
I've never been so glad to see a hat.
Mr. Hendricks is in quite a rush, miss.
Yes, you said.
You are quite lucky, Miss Brown.
Nellie puts on her coat. She savors the moment.
Yes, I am.
Doctor, sign here. Then she's free to go.
Free to go. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you.
She looks back, hesitates. She kisses her fingers to her lips and bids farewell.
Adios, my friends.
Nellie steps into Pulitzer's office.
Mr. Pulitzer, I'm back. I'd like my check, an office, and a meal. After devouring the best meat and cheese sandwich I have ever had, I work.
Recalling every detail, let them pour onto the page. A story that will not fail to move the readers to a rage. Life goes on as I write. New York eats up every word. A celebrity overnight. My pen name widely seen and heard. Everyone is talking. The city knows my name. Everyone is talking. They wonder who's to blame. Everyone is talking. And readers cannot wait to watch the drama that real life creates.
The bathwater may be tepid, but of course it's changed.
We were told to use the same water for each patient. There isn't enough staff to haul fresh water from the well for all of them.
If they get cold and we have blankets to spare, no one goes without.
One blanket, one gown with apron, one shawl if we haven't run out.
What do you mean? Would I eat the food?
I'd have to be dying of starvation to eat the food.
What do you mean I'm dismissed?
Relieved of my duties?
Everyone is talking.
My age? Well, I'm 20.
This was my first job after medical school. Treating the insane seemed like a good starting place. If I could work with them, I could work with any patient.
There were just so many of them, and only a few of us.
Half the nurses were inmates from the penitentiary down the road.
I believed I was qualified.
I was not prepared for the day-to-day misery.
Everyone is talking.
When Miss Brown and I were brought to the island, the nurses were cruel and the food too terrible to eat. Now, ever since Miss Brown left us, the nurses have been gentler, the food is better, and they turned up the heat. We never had enough clothes to wear, especially our one friend who has been getting sicker every day, but no nurse or doctor seemed to care. I haven't seen her in days.
Fix your eyes on me, I am but one you will remember. I hope no more for recovery, still be my defender. See what you can do, while the city watches you.
Fears at the start and dropped them at my release. But those rushed goodbyes broke my heart and I refuse to live selfishly. Love yourself, this is fine, but life's not all Nellie Bly. There must be help that I can give. There must be value in these lines. So now I must do something. Now the pot's been stirred. Now I must do something. Amplify these words. If I just keep talking without applying energy, do I accomplish anything?
Everyone is talking. Nellie Bly, everyone is talking. Nellie Bly. Now I must do something.
Nellie Bly, now I must do something. Nellie Bly.
Do something.
Etwas tun.
Do something.
Ta'asi mashu.
Do something.
Haz algo.
Do something.
What began as a stunt, a means to make it to the page. Brought new issues to confront, as I feared it left me changed. So now I must do something with the attention I have gained. Now I must do something. Ready, set, take aim.
Less than 1 month after the first installment story ran, a grand jury panel sailed to Blackwell's.
Nellie Bly!
They saw through the rushed attempts at reform. They demanded the asylum provide nutritious food.
Nellie Bly!
The cruel, untrained staff were replaced with competent doctors and nurses.
Nellie Bly!
They hired translators to help foreign patients. They pushed through $1 million in reform.
Nellie Bly!
A change can happen a little at a time if you do something. A change can happen a little at a time if you do something. A change can happen a little at a time if you do something. Do something, do something, do something.
I said I would and I could, and I did.
The story lies. The story lies. The story lies.
The story lies within your eyes.
Lights out, end of play. This podcast is part of a workshop process, and we would love your feedback. So please feel free to fill out the form at mtmadison.com and let us know what you thought, and we'll review the feedback on our fifth and final episode. The 10 Days in a Madhouse podcast is a production of Music Theater of Madison, music and lyrics by Jennifer Hedstrom, book and lyrics by Karen Sari, commissioned and directed by Megan Randolph and Music Theater of Madison, production and recording by Scott Glogowski and Adam Kudishot. Assistant music direction by Evan Lang. Special thanks to MTM company manager Kristen Emery and assistant directors Maureen Jansen and Trinity Gardner. If you're willing and able to make a contribution to Music Theater of Madison to help us keep up our commitment to the community through original and interesting musical theater, you can do so at mtmadison.com, and every dollar counts. Thank you for listening.